So we'll talk Titans, we'll talk draft. We want to talk to you about your outstanding feature for the magazine on Jeremiah Love. As you might imagine, a lot of Titans fans are very, very excited about the possibility of the team drafting Jeremiah Love. So we'll get into all of that. And once you're ready, I'll count down and we'll get started.
Hey, Connor, before we start, I went to college with Mark Bechtel, so don't hold that against me, all right?
No way. Oh, you're the one. He mentions you all the time when we talk. That's great. I just had dinner with him out in San Francisco.
Oh, good, good, good. Yeah, he's a good buddy. Good dude.
All right, everybody ready?
Yep.
All right, counting down. 3, 2, 1. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our guest, Connor Orr of Sports Illustrated and the MMQB podcast. Connor, thank you for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
We're doing well. Thank you so much for joining us. So we have to start, Connor, with this wild trade you whipped up in your mock draft involving the Titans and LA Rams. In your projected trade, you have the Titans receiving picks numbers 13, 61, 93, and a 2027 first round pick for the number 4 and number 101 pick in the draft. How did you come up with that?
So if the trade was executed, and let's say the Rams get Jeremiah Love and win the Super Bowl, or come close to winning the Super Bowl, it would basically be, so I use like a trade calculator, and it would basically be like a net 600-point trade win for the Titans. And my reason for doing that, because I got a lot of flack for that, of all things, like it doesn't quite work out in the trade value chart, is if you're the Titans and you're going to trade Jeremiah Love to the Rams, and you know he's going to go there and look like a magician, you have to pay a little bit of an extra tax because of there's going to be kind of the optics of letting this guy go and then watching Sean McVay turn him into a star. So if I'm Robert Saleh, I just want a little sweetener on top of it. So that's where the extra pick came from. But the reason why I'm thinking about this is because the Rams never pick this high, and every time they get this high, they do something crazy. I think when they were at 9 the last time when Les Snead was the GM, that's when they traded up to get Jared Goff. They always expect to be in the final 4. They usually are in the final 8 in some respect. And so this is a team that we don't know what's going on with Puka Nacua. We don't know what's going on with, you know, Devontae Adams. How much longer is he going to be part of the offense when Matt Stafford phases out? Like, Jeremiah Love's a cornerstone. I mean, he's a guy who can be great for you for the life of this contract.
Connor, you wrote an excellent feature about Jeremiah Love for Sports Illustrated. The headline, Why Jeremiah Love is the NFL's Next Superhero. I recommend all Titans fans read this story, especially if the team drafts Love tomorrow night. What was the most fascinating thing you learned about Love as a player in person as you reported the story?
I think just the fact that, he had like something like 9.5 carries a game in high school, which is nothing for an elite prospect, right? He was a top 5 Rivals running backs recruit. And the reason was because his best friend was also a running back, and they ran a 2-back offense, and he would defer plays in the huddle so that his best friend could have a better shot at getting to college. And he would say things like when Marcus Freeman would call from Notre Dame or Dan Lanning from Oregon, he would say, I don't care, I'll sign right now if you also sign my best friend Dylan, because he's really good and no one knows about him yet. And I think he just has this very unique sense of good and bad, of right and wrong, that is so different from anybody else. And his parents did that thing on College Game Day that kind of talked a little bit about the fact that he may be neurodiverse, but I think in a lot of ways, it makes him such a better teammate. It makes him, you know, such a unique person. And everyone to a man that I spoke to kind of backed that up and reiterated that.
My colleague Derek Mason over here, Connor, is the conductor of the Jeremiah Love train. A lot of Titans fans...
Complete with soundtrack behind it.
Yes, a lot of soundtrack. A lot of Titans fans want him very badly. How disappointed should Titans fans be if the team doesn't draft Love tomorrow, if he's available when they pick?
It's a good question. I mean, if you wind up with Sonny Styles, you have to think too, right? It's like, I mean, Sonny Styles is going to do something for Robert Saleh's defense that no other player in the draft can do. And that's harder to sell, and it's probably harder to put on a season ticket package when you're opening a new stadium. And I do think that these are factors that are going to be considered when you're drafting that high and you're looking at a player like Love at the top of the draft. But, you know, I think he's exceptional. Do I think he's any better of a prospect than Saquon Barkley? No. But, I mean, Saquon Barkley had some really spectacular seasons. And so if you're the Titans and you have that long lineage of great backs who have helped transform your offense, all that kind of stuff, I mean, yeah, it probably stinks to pass up. And, again, this is a draft with so few premium players, like eight, nine, ten, right? And so if you're letting one of those go and passing one of them up for an immediate upgrade on defense, I get it. I mean, it's going to be a tough sell.
Now, Connor, we're going to go back to your article because I suggest that everyone go back and read it. SI.com, his article on Jeremiah Love. I loved it. You know, Adam, I think, expressed how much that I love this kid as a player. But reading an article, it allowed me to like him even more as a person. I'm sort of close to it because my son loves all of this anime. So when he's talking about it, I can kind of relate. I've sat through a movie where they fought one scene for over 45 minutes. So I'm committed when it comes to that. But what other sort of morals or things did that teach him?
So Jeremiah's interesting, right? I mean, mm-hmm. He came to his mom around the time that he was in grade school and said, hey, like, I don't know what's going on with me, but I don't feel joy. I don't feel sadness. I don't feel hatred. I don't feel anything. And at the moment, his mom was really alarmed by that. But as she kind of got more educated on neurodiversity and the fact that everybody kind of experiences things differently, she allowed Jeremiah to kind of find his own way. And anime and comic books and superheroes, they come with that baked-in set of morals, right? It's good and bad. It's evil. It's right and wrong. And so I think that was a great opportunity for him. And when he saw these guys crying, when he saw them expressing sadness or any sort of emotion, he kind of felt it too. And he said it really kind of opened him up to this whole different world of experiences, you know?
Yeah, and even reading it more. And again, I suggest those that haven't read it or go to SI.com and check it out. Because this kid, I think he's fascinating. And I think wherever he goes, you know, he will bring not only – you know, production to the field, but also production to their to the community which he's in. But at the beginning of the year, college year, there were several quarterbacks that were mentioned that could be drafted, you know, in the first round. As we see now, there's really only one, and maybe Ty Simpson is a second. But where did individuals go wrong in evaluating guys like Drew Aller or Nussmeier and some of the other ones?
You're right. I mean, we wrote about that this week. We had Scott Turner on, who was a longtime offensive coordinator, and he was making fun of us because we were saying, oh, teams should be trading for more 2027 capital, 2027 capital. And he said, hey, when I was in the league, you guys were saying that about 2026. You were saying, oh, it's going to be Nussmeier and Aller, and it's going to be, Arch Manning and all that stuff. And so the truth of the matter is with NIL and with opportunities, we have no idea when these kids are going to come out. Their coaches leave so soon. We have no way to grade them on any sort of a standard kind of ascension rubric. And so it's really hard. And it comes down to kind of your scouting fundamentals and what you believe. And I think that, you know, all these guys had really difficult spots. Aller and Nussmeier lost their coaches mid-year. Aller lost Tyler Warren in the first round of the draft, who was maybe one of the greatest outlet receivers for a quarterback over the last 10 years that we've seen. And so all this stuff happens, and it just complicates a kid's development. And then you look down the future, and all of a sudden, all these quarterbacks that you think are going to be here are either not good enough, or they're going to try to stay in school and improve their stock.
Connor Orr is with us from SI.com, also co-host of the MMQP podcast, a staple of mine, along with Albert Breer. Great stuff. Connor, one more on Jeremiah Love that caught me from your article, because what you guys talk about a lot on the podcast is how what separates Jeremiah Love is he's not just a runner. He could be easily a prospect as a receiver, so that versatility is good, and he can block. And I think about the story you referenced with Adam about his best friend. He wanted to get more carries, so he almost taught himself how to be a blocker. He was blocking a lot more than great running back prospects. I'm sure that was sort of a secondary thing he probably didn't think about, but it's made him even more valuable.
Willingly taking on contact for that position, I think, is rare, right? I mean, especially for your top guys, right? I mean, your Bijan Robinson's, all that. Like, these guys aren't signing up to take, you know, 25 to 30 pass block reps a game. I mean, they're signing up to be exceptional on the field and to get the ball with room to run. And I think Jeremiah's like that, but there's less ego there, right? And there's more of just a, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do on this play. And he was a very willing blocker. And I think one of the things that all of his coaches at every level pointed out were, he had so many 70, 80, 90 plus yard runs. His best runs were all 1 to 2 yards. And there are so many more of those that just, you don't put them on film, but there's cutups that can be 15 minutes long of him getting a yard where he's dead to rights 3 or 4 yards in the backfield. And that's the thing, if I'm the Titans, that I'm probably excited about, because your offensive line still has a little ways to go.
No question. Now, let's say they rain on Derek's parade of the love train. It's something you guys talked about extensively in your recent podcast, Connor. That is, Arizona takes Jeremiah Love, which would leave you the choice between Arvell Reese and Sonny Styles, who are different players but both elite in their own right. So what do you think that choice would be like if that's what the Titans are presented?
I think it's Styles, and this isn't a knock on Reese, but I mean, we have yet to see him with his hand in the dirt. I think I went back and I looked the other day at some of the different scouting reports on him. I don't think he's taken a snap out of a three-point stance defensively yet. Now, does that really matter? I don't know. I mean, there's coaches that say, I can get Fernando Mendoza ready to play under center in 25 minutes if he's paying attention. And so I don't know. But I think if I'm Robert Saleh, it's like, I kind of know Sonny Styles was doing Fred Warner stuff at Ohio State. I can see that. I can call Matt Patricia, who's been an NFL defensive coordinator for 2 decades, and he can relay how he would fit into my defense pretty easily, and I think that that's a really easy thing. Reese is going to take some imagination, and maybe he's Micah Parsons, but like, it's that old adage where it's like, you know, you already know what you have in Sonny Styles, and I think Robert Saleh needs players more than anything right now, right? I mean, that's what this whole thing with this roster turnover has been about. It's just about getting quality players, and I think Styles fits the bill there.
If Arizona doesn't trade down, as you guys speculate that Monty Austin Ford, a former Titans assistant GM, would like to do, do you think the Titans could find somebody that really wants to dive in on Arvell Reese? You could move down a couple of notches and maybe still get Sonny Styles? Is that perfect storm out there, or do you think it's just not a match?
I think it's out there. I think it's just like, really, when we're talking about who wants Arvell Reese, I think, at least for me, and I have to challenge this all the time, is like, is my reasoning that Jerry Jones let Micah Parsons go and he would love the idea of getting someone who may be like Micah Parsons for a fraction of the cost and then basically wash his hands of the whole, you know, the poor optics of the trade. I mean, that's the team that I see moving up for him. Will they do it? I don't know. I think, you know, this market, you know, Reese is a guy that I think could also drop, right? Because we're just not sure how to use him. Micah Parsons went 11th or 12th, right? And so I think that's one of those really interesting scenarios where if you love him, you could go up and get him. If you're worried about someone else taking him, but there's been so much posturing from these GMs in the top 4 or 5 about Reese that it just makes you wonder, like, is anybody really locked in or sold on him?
Connor Orr of Sports Illustrated is with us. Connor, a major reason why we have been talking so much around here about Jeremiah Love is because he should, theoretically, help Cam Ward develop in year 2. How would you evaluate Ward's rookie season, and how are you feeling about him as he enters year 2 in the NFL?
It's funny, we were talking about this the other day, and I would say, like, if you were to compile, like, the 20 coolest throws, like, just based on circumstance, you know, difficulty of opponent, lack of talent around him, I mean, if you were to factor all that into the grading scale, like, I would say probably like 13 of the 20 coolest throws that I saw last season were ones that were Cam Ward. Now, you know, I could also say that about Spencer Rattler. So, like, don't, you know, I don't want to overrate that in my mind, right? But I think that he is, you know, I think that those, like, Mahomes light comps are still legitimate to me because he just has such great body control. I mean, he's always looking down the field. This can be an explosive play offense, and it's the kind of quarterback that Dable has won with before. I mean, to me, again, I mean, to comp him to Mahomes and Allen, I don't think is accurate, but to say that he's a big body that's not afraid of contact, he keeps his eyes downfield, I mean, maybe Roethlisberger-esque, you know, I still think that that's out there. I didn't see anything in terms of like a developing fatal flaw that really scared me out of him.
Connor, one thing to build off of that we talk about a lot is just the I don't know if nostalgia is the right word, but the sexiness of moving into a new stadium with kind of a reboot of Derek Mason's era, right? You've got Steve McNair and Eddie George. They were the signature guys when Nashville got a football team. And I just wonder if that's in the back of the mind of Amy Adams Strunk, or if that enters into Mike Borgonzi's psyche at all, the ability to have the ticket sales that will go with that. It's just such a marketable thing if Love is sitting there, even if maybe deep down they think that Styles or somebody else is a better fit.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's no doubt. This hung over the last regime. Like, there's no question about it. You know, I think it's probably one of those situations, based on how much they loved Brian Callahan in the moment when they hired him, that maybe they would have liked to have given him a third year, but they got to develop some hype. They got to sell some season tickets. Like, they have to, you know, this is not one of those things that, you know, you look at the way that the Rams approach things, hired a really dynamic coach in Sean McVay, who was a bit of a curiosity at the time. You know, you're trading up for guys like Jared Goff a year before you're moving out there. I mean, there's stuff that you need to do to lay the groundwork and to build excitement, and hope is the great currency in the NFL, and I just don't think they had it last year. And so I've been of the mind that, you know, that's why when I saw the tenor of the mocks changing lately, where everyone's saying, oh, well, I do think maybe the Titans will go defense at four, I think Robert Saleh knows he can build a good defense. He had a good defense last year with, like, eight of his starters injured. You know, I think what they can't do is manufacture hype. And I think that Jeremiah Love fits the bill there.
Now, Connor, we've discussed on the show, what is that line of demarcation where if the Titans do choose to move back, how far can they go and still get a impact elite guy? Now, we start to see that Jordan Tyson is the guy that is climbing up the charts. Obviously, you got Carnell Tate there. Do both of those guys, or one of those guys, sort of fit that, hey, if you want him, you got to get him in the top 10 or maybe top 11.
I've been hearing that on Tyson lately. I'm wary of, it's like the, I forget, there's like a name of like the phenomena, but it's like something that happens right before the draft. And it's a really good, you know, it's a great job by his agent to have that workout happen essentially a week before the draft starts, because in your mind, maybe he looks better, he looks stronger, he looks different from a receiver that you've been evaluating who's tired at the combine and who just got through a 14-game season, right? Maybe he pops a little bit more. And so I think, you know, these teams have had dinner with this guy, all that stuff. There's still an injury history there that scares me. There's a lot going on there. And so I think Tyson is one of those classic, like, late risers that maybe if he goes 12, 13, everyone's going to ask what happened, but I think he might have just always been there.
Connor, along those lines, there is a lot of misdirection at this time of year. There seemingly are conflicting reports coming out every day. Which one of these recent reports are you buying the least?
Where do we start? Like, I mean, all of them? I mean, you know, like, that's the thing. Like, it's crazy. It feels like Groundhog Day, and it's the same with any major contract negotiation where it's like, oh no, like, this guy's really not going to sign. He's really not going to sign. And then 48 hours before the franchise tag deadline, he signs his contract, right? Every year. But we fall for it. And I think this is the same thing where we watch these guys all fall. We rank them, we evaluate them, we do the Senior Bowl, we do the combine, we have the intel from the combine, and we have kind of an idea of where everything fits, and then for some reason, 2 weeks before the draft, everything goes absolutely insane for no reason. That's when I turn my TV off, right? I mean, I remember, you know, I used to cover the Jets, and there was a year where it was like, oh no, it's not Quinnen Williams, it's definitely Ed Oliver now, and throw everything you thought out the window. No, I mean, you know, some of this stuff is just, you know, I think we watch too much TV at some point, and I think that's when I know to turn it off.
Connor Orr of Sports Illustrated and the MMQB podcast has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. You can read his work at SI.com, including his latest feature on Jeremiah Love titled Why Jeremiah Love is the NFL's Next Superhero. Connor, thank you so much for your time. Enjoy the NFL draft, and we'll have to do this again soon.
You too, guys. Good luck.
615-737-1025. We will react to Connor coming up next. You can as well. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.